This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello.
If someone's speaking, they're on mute.
I can't hear anyone except you.
I apologize, Ellen. I am speaking. So once again, I will start with the welcome to everyone to RDS Who Is To Review Team Meeting Number 4 on August 3rd, 2017 at 1100 UTC. And in attendance today, we have Alan Greenberg, Chris Desain, Erica Mann, Lily Sun, Susan Kawaguchi, Thomas Walden, Catherine Bauer-Bolst, and we have apologies from Dimitri and Volker. And from ICANN organization, we have Alice Jansen, Karen Mulberry, and myself, Brenda Brewer, and I'll turn the meeting over to the co-chairs. Thank you.
Actually, to the chair. We have a chair and vice chairs last time, was decided last time. Thank you. Welcome. It's Alan Greenberg speaking. For the record, does anyone have any updates to statements of interest? Actually, can I confirm with staff that we have statements of interest from all participants? Perhaps not. All right, we'll get
Alan,
confirmation. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Karen Mulberry. I was just going to let you know that we're in the process of double-checking all of that because
right.
There was some changes in the Statement of Interest form to make sure everyone has the latest, and we will report out on the list to everyone.
All right. If it's a new form, I may not have one. So please let anyone know if we don't have statements of interest for this particular function.
We will do that.
Okay. Thank you very much. And are there any comments on the agenda or any other business anyone would like to record? Hearing nothing, seeing no hands, we will accept the agenda as presented and go on to the first item. The first item is a discussion on role of observers. And can I ask, I suspect Lisa, but I'm not sure, to quickly review for the rest of the group what the concept of observer is, what the implementation has been used in other groups, and so we can start a discussion on whether we'll use something similar.
Thank you, Alan. This is Karen Mulberry again. Lisa is on holiday today, so she will not be joining us, and I will make a valid attempt.
Do we allow that?
You know what? She really needed one. So she's allowed a few hours. Anyway. I will go over the role of observers. I know that the review team itself has had touched upon how you want to interact with observers on a few occasions, and we thought we'd bring this all back together for you to have a more concrete discussion, and in particular, as you move into your terms of reference, you'll need to document, you know, how you view the role of observers and how you would like them to interact with the review team. What you have in front of you is the example from the SSR2 review team. And in particular, the role of observers has changed, or maybe it's been enhanced a little bit under the new bylaws, where as we form review teams, they have some finite boundaries around the size of the review team itself and the process to become a member of the review team. The bylaws do encourage as many observers as possible to become part of the process. Now, it doesn't define how part of the process. And that's really up to the review team and how you want to interact with them or how you want to allow them to contribute questions or comments because they run their separate Adobe room for them so that they have their own chat pod and everything else. So they can talk amongst themselves, but they really don't interact with you and until you've defined what the process is you would like that to be. I know on, in particular for the SSR2 folks, they take comments from the observer room and read them into the review team record. Our secretariat pastes them in the chat, and so everyone can see that. You can determine if you want to consider them, note them, however you want to handle them. So there's many different ways you can do this. So what's in front of you is how SSR has documented their interactions and for their terms of reference on observers. It's also on their wiki page as well, so that anyone who might be wanting to see what the review team is up to, they can see this as a process for them to become engaged and follow your discussions and deliberations.
Okay, Catherine? Thank you.
Well, I thought I saw Catherine's hand up. I'm sorry.
I don't see it on my machine in any case. Question about the mailing list. You said observers can send an email to the review team. Does that mean they are all observers are on our standard mailing list, or is there some other mechanism?
They have a separate process, and that we can contribute then into the review team.
How does that get to the review team?
We shepherd it to you.
Okay, fine. It's done by our staff.
Yes, and okay. As well as monitoring the their separate chat room. So if they have a question or comments, they post specifically to be directed to the review team. We, you know, they're again under using the SSR2 process. We then post it in the review team's chat, so you can see it and read it into the record.
All right, or the review team's email, if appropriate, I presume.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. If I can summarize, essentially we're saying they're operating as a separate group, so they're not on our Adobe Connect chat. They're not on our list. There's a mechanism by which we can have things. They can request things be forwarded to us. I presume we are allowed to subscribe to that list if we want to watch what's going on the observer's list or the observer's Adobe Connect room. But other than that, until the volume is such that we feel it is disruptive to our own processes, there's not really much effect. Is that a reasonable summary?
Yes. In terms of the experience with the SSR2 review team, I mean, they've had a few comments come in from the observers,
mm-hmm.
and some suggestions on some of the materials that they're working on. But it hasn't been a horrendous amount or overwhelming.
Okay, thank you. Erica said in the chat that she thinks Chris and Susan raised their hands. I don't see it on my screen. I said they have microphones separate from Adobe Connect, separate from the phone bridge, but I don't see them as raising their hands. So maybe someone else has seen something else. Good morning, Carlton. Welcome. I have no problem. I certainly have no problem with accepting that as our current practice, with the understanding that should this become an impediment to our doing our work, that we may well change the rules of the process. But at this point, I have no problem with it. And assuming we are allowed to do that, given we have no experience at this point, I'm willing to accept it. I'd like to hear input from other people. If there is input from other people. Otherwise, I assume I am echoing the will of the group. I'll give you a moment or so. My sympathies to Carlton, yes. Hotels and, in fact, many homes still have bad connectivity in this modern world. All right, then, hearing nothing, seeing nothing, nothing in the chat, no one with their hand up, no one calling out. Let's assume that is our practice, essentially echoing what the SSR2 group is doing, with the caveat that as we find out the impact, if any, we may have to make subtle adjustments to it. Let's go on to the next item, which is the review of the draft terms of reference. Now, the draft terms of reference is a relatively new document that is now required. It includes, among other things, the scope And I believe I've been told that it also includes a brief history of the scope discussions up to this stage. And so as we go through the terms of reference, I will ask staff to put particular focus on that part, because that will be the lead into our next item the major item on our discussion on the scope. And I presume Karen is doing this one also.
Yes, I am. And this is Karen Mulberry, and I thought I'd walk you through a little bit of the draft terms of reference that we touched upon briefly at the last plenary call to introduce the document to you. And it's been sent out to you as part of the package of materials to prepare for this meeting today. The objectives of this document is to really to capture what the review team is focusing on for its accomplishment and what you want to do with the resources that you have and the time estimates that you think you need to conduct, as you framed what it is in the terms of reference. Now, it's clearly there just to provide some guidance. What we have in the draft template is the initial draft for you. Is some examples. You can replace the text with whatever you'd like to replace it with. We try to capture best practices so that you in essence have some sense of operations and what should be in there, as well as to provide some consistency, because this is going to be something that will be used going forward with all the review teams. So there is a very similar form and format. It becomes easy then for the community to locate information. It's easy for you to locate information because it will be in a similar format and laid out very hopefully clean and concisely for you. Now, this is just the starting point. It was never meant to be, this is the final document and all you have to do is review it, approve it. It is a starting point for your discussion. We populated it with boilerplate text that we could locate. As Alan noted in the mission and scope, what we have there is the text out of the bylaws that frames, the review, provides guidance on what the review should focus on. But those are solely out of the bylaws. The actual scope of the review is up to the review team to determine what that should be. There again, it is a template. It's divided up into different sections. The first section is just to identify some basic information. So we populated it with text that we located that was associated with this review. There again, you can feel free to change it, modify it in whatever way you feel is appropriate, which is try to capture text to give you some sense of what populating this section would look like. And then, section two is the mission, scope, purpose, and deliverables. And then so it starts off with the bylaws text, and it mentions what the requirements are. We also have in there, for your discussion, a summary of the limited scope proposal. We've tried to lay out some objectives based on the discussions that you've had to date that we've captured. And, this is here where you will finalize what you think the scope of the review is that everyone's agreed to, and it will be moved into this section. And once the document itself is done, this is what it gets sent to the board in response to their ask when they form the review team. And there again, if you go through the different sections, the formation liaison, leadership, other organizations that you're going to interact with is another section. What your decision-making and the methodologies you're going to use is captured there, too, so everyone has a sense of how the review team members are going to approach these things. So that's kind of a general overview of the document itself, the information we've tried to capture to at least start your discussion and provide some examples of context for each of the sections or the subsections so you get a sense of what should be in there. Any questions?
It's Alan. I don't have a question. I will propose a way going forward at this point. And I would like to suggest that other than the scope, which is a substantive discussion that we need to have, that we ask everyone on the review team to go over this document, submit any comments or thoughts they have, and I presume since it's been distributed as a Word document, that adding either proposed change text, if appropriate, or simply comments to the text, be submitted in time for staff to incorporate them into a single document for our review for the next meeting 2 weeks from now. Does that sound like it's doable by anyone on the call? Essentially, that means I'm guessing that the work has to be done in approximately a week and a half to give staff a few days to consolidate whatever is received. And Erica asked what the deadline is. We can make one up as we go along. It is the 3rd today. Next meeting is the 17th. Karen, if we get it all to you by the 14th, 15th, is that enough time for you to do that?
The 14th, if we can do the 14th, then that, and then that gives us then Tuesday to process
two
and get the
full days.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Let's say by end of business by Tuesday, but preferably earlier than that, to give Karen or whoever's doing it a heads up. To start their work, but let's say the 14th. Close a business or 2359 UTC, whatever's convenient from a staff point of view.
I also want to note that, Alan, if I could, in the document you'll see some highlighted sections. That's just to call out specific areas where you might want to the review team might want to consider adding text.
Thank you very much. And I note that under where you now have the discussion on scope will eventually replace that whole thing, the history of it, with simply what we decide, I assume.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then there's a homework assignment. If you can make sure that goes out to the mailing list with some clarity so the people who aren't on the meeting are aware of it. I'm optimistically assuming people read all of the emails.
We've got to capture it as an action item, and we will send out the action item list to everyone.
Thank you very much. Any further comments? We will go back to this document because it does have a nice summary of the scope discussion when we get to that agenda item. And the next item is review of the overall WHOIS implementation reports. And again, I'll turn to Karen.
Thank you.
Only having one main resource person on a call is really nice. I don't have to guess.
Thank you, Alan. Well, and you say this one is particularly tied to the documents that I sent out earlier to the review team. There are two documents that are produced to track the implementation of WHOIS 1 recommendations that were approved by the board. There is an executive summary document, actually, which has the most detail in terms of the steps that were taken to implement a recommendation. And it has links to various activities and materials to show how they've been addressed and how they've been integrated into the ICANN processes and organizational operational activities. And then below that, the second document is just a high-level summary. Even though it's called a detailed quarterly implementation report, that was the old format that we used to report the status of implementation on. And then as a result of some recommendations from ATRT2, we changed the reporting process. So the executive summary process took over. But a lot of people found shortened version, the implementation summary, to be of value, so we maintain both versions so that they are similar in a lot of content, but in some respects, one has a little bit more than the other one. Those are the two documents that were sent out to you to review, and then we are in the process of working with various groups that were part of that implementation within ICANN to prepare briefings for you so they can come and show you, you know, what they have done to address the recommendation when it was first introduced, how they went through steps to implement it, and what's happening today as a result of that recommendation. So we hope to have some of those set up for you. I don't know if we can do that for the next planning meeting, but probably for the one after that. We should have at least some of the recommendations prepared so that you can have a portion of your agenda to talk through those and be briefed on them. Any questions?
Thank you, Karen. I'll point out that if you go through the implementation reports, it says everything has been done. It is 100% completed to the extent, I mean, some things are ongoing and some things have been referred to other groups. But to the extent that staff could implement these things, the reports say that they are 100% done. So if we agree with that, then a large part of our task is already done and we just have to essentially echo what the staff reports are saying. Of course, if we disagree, there's a much larger task ahead of us to work with the implementers and try to understand where their view of what they were supposed to do was different than our view, or their belief of completion is different from our belief. And that will, of course, be a large part of our focus. To aid the people who are going forward, who will be coming and presenting to us, it would be good if, as the review team members go over these documents, if there are any questions to raise, that we give a heads up to the presenters ahead of time and not just spring them on them at the meeting. So we don't have the timeline right now of when people will be coming, but as people go through these reports, and I think that should be done moderately quickly over the next month or so, that we be in a position to forward any comments or questions we have to the people. I see a hand up from Erica.
Ellen, thank you. I have one question, and I was looking for an overview about all of the difficulties the WHOIS implementation experience. So what I would love to see would be just a simple overview. Maybe it doesn't exist, but I would be surprised if it does. So do we have this at hand, and can we review this? Thanks.
Thank you. Lisa's probably the best one to answer, because she's probably, from a point of knowledge about WHOIS, has done the most review of these. I've done a fair amount a long time ago, because I did the ATRT2 review of the implementation, and it was early in the implementation at that point. But nevertheless, at that point, it was obvious there were some things that, in the view of staff, the recommendation could not be implemented as written, and therefore they rejigged it and did what they believed was implementable. And there are a number of adjustments like that. There are also some of them. There was one, interestingly enough, where the initial review said it is not implementable, and then they went ahead and did it. And last time I looked, did it pretty well. So, but I don't think there's a document reviewing it from that perspective. I think that's built into the analysis and review, as far as I'm aware, anyway. Erica, your hand is still up. Do you want to get back in?
Not really, because I think you made a point.
Okay.
Well, that's what I heard as well. But I would love to have maybe we can have a 5-minute time when Lisa is back and just focus on this point. I just would love to hear a little bit more about it.
Sure.
I'm interested in the methodology, how these change done. Thanks so much.
If we could have an AI for that, please. All right. I don't think there's anything else we can do other than suggest that people really do need to read over both what the recommendations are, which show up in the executive summary, which has been pointed to, and the detailed analysis of what was done, at least the detail to the extent it's documented in these reports, and be prepared to submit questions prior to the presenters coming, if at all possible. Any further comments? Okay. As we go forward, by the way, just for your information, I will try to, if I have substantive input into any discussion, as opposed to a brief chair comments, and there's a queue, I'll put my hand up and go into the queue to indicate that I'm speaking sort of without my chair's hat on. I won't necessarily do that if there's no queue at all, but I will try to keep it orderly when there is a queue. And thank you, someone who's echoing.
Thank you.
That's Stephanie's mic is, Stephanie is now on the call and she was unmuted. So welcome, Stephanie. All right. If we may go on to the next agenda item, we're getting through this meeting and it looks like we will be able to hold to the 1 hour target. And what is the next agenda item? That is the discussion of review of RT, of our background and review of the background and various comments that have been made on the scope as a method of eventually getting to closure on what our scope is. And probably the best place to look at that is roundabout page of the terms of reference, round page 5 of the terms of reference, I believe, is where the history started. If we could go to that document, I'd appreciate it. And everyone has their own scrolling rights, so if you could go to page 5. All right. The history is when the new bylaws were written, there was no flexibility provided whatsoever in terms of the timing of these reviews. It says the new review must start 5 years after, I think, the last report was submitted. Not sure if it's the last. No, I'm sorry. It's 5 years after the last group was convened. And the last group was convened somewhere around April 2013. It was convened beginning of 2012. That put us in violation of the bylaws at the time the new bylaws came into effect, because it was now at that point more than 5 years, and the board felt compelled to initiate a new review because of the bylaws, the limit in the bylaws. The previous AOC had a similar, apparently hard limit, but in theory, there was an ability of the board to negotiate with the NTIA and come to an agreement to defer, and that was done on some of the other reviews. But no such flexibility was provided at all when the new bylaws were incorporated. So we were stuck at the situation of having to do a review of who is and RDS in parallel with a number of implementation activities, such as the privacy proxy process going on, and moreover in parallel with the RDS PDP, which was, although it's well over a year into it at this point, admittedly is not a lot far from just starting. Certainly in terms of making decisions, that was the case. And a discussion began of what to do about these two situations. Stephanie, I see your hand up. Would you like to get in right now or wait till I finish? Stephanie is muted.
Sorry, Alan, I'm having terrible connection troubles.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, no, just ignore the hand. I don't know what's going on with the system. Thanks. Bye.
All right, thank you, Stephanie. All right. And now if we can mute Stephanie, that's good. Thank you. The proposal was made, and for complete clarity, I was the one who made the proposal, that we limit the scope of the review to essentially a postmortem of what the last review did. That is, we don't try to investigate again whether who is is something good. We, you know, the expert working group came to a conclusion. And that's why the board chartered the expert working group, and following that, a PDP was initiated. Plus, there are other activities in parallel that are going on. And that was deemed, from my perspective, I thought that was going to be sufficient. That position was accepted by the SSAC and by the ALAC. There was some feedback from the GAC and from the GNSO, and following that from the GAC, and there's been a number of other discussions since then, particularly in this group, that have talked about other ways that the scope could be formed. And I think the intent at this point is to go through those comments and come to some closure. From my perspective, I don't believe we have a choice but to do the postmortem. The review of past review teams' recommendations and their implementation, I think, is one of the solid items in concrete in our review process. So I don't think that one is something that we can negotiate, but the question is, what else are we doing over and above that? And as I said, there are the GNSO feedback. I have made some comments on it, and then there were further comments made, I believe, by Catherine on the same subject. And I'm happy to go through the GNSO comments and then the things that have been said about them, unless someone else would like to propose some other methodology going forward. I'll leave the quiet to see if anyone else wants to suggest something different. And I see no hands, hear no voices, even though it takes people a bit of time to unmute. All right, then can we have Karen, can I ask you to go through the items on the GNSO list as presented by them, and just so we're familiar with those items. And then perhaps I will go over my comments on how relevant they are or how reasonable it is for us to look at those comments and follow them.
Yes, certainly, Alan, I can do that. And what we have captured here as a summary in terms of reference with the list of items that the GNSO suggested that the review team consider as they look at their scope. And, you know, assess whether you want to add that into the scope of the review or how you might want to address a certain point. Now, one was the RDS efforts to meet the legitimate needs of law enforcement, promoting consumer trust and safeguarding registrant data, how RDS current and future recommendations might be improved and better coordinated, privacy and proxy services accreditation issues and implementation was another one. Another is the progress of HUA's across departmental validation implementation, compliance enforcement actions, structure, and processes, availability of transparent enforcement of contractual obligations data, the value and timing of RDAP as a replacement protocol, the effectiveness of any other steps ICANN org has taken to implement HUA's recommendations. And that was the list of suggestions that they had for the review team to consider.
Okay, thank you very much. Unless someone has an objection, I'll go through what my thoughts were on it, because I strongly agreed with some of them and strongly disagreed with others, and then we can go forward to the group in general. The first one was assess the RDS efforts currently underway. I don't see how we can assess a PDP that's the major effort that is going on, a PDP while it is underway, and try to pass judgment on it. They are nowhere near the point of making any recommendations at this point, and I just don't see how we could do that. And moreover, I don't see what the board could do with our answers or our analysis, even if we do that, because the board has no jurisdiction to alter the PDP. So I'm a little bit at a loss what this means and how we would do it. The second one is assess the first one was assess the process underway to see whether they're on target and will meet the legitimate needs. Well, I don't think we have, from the group's perspective, identified what the legitimate needs are, nor have they made any recommendations. So I think that's, as I said, I don't think that is indeed possible at all. The second one is a somewhat differently worded thing, but also assess the RDS efforts that are currently underway or planned in the future for making recommendations whether they might be improved or better coordinated. And again, I don't know how we could do that. So I guess I'd like people, anyone from the GS and CNSO, in both these cases, to explain a little bit more just what it is that they envision us doing. Certainly there are small aspects of it that, such as the privacy proxy services mentioned in number three, where the PDP is largely done, and we can assess that, but we have to do that anyway as part of the review of the implementation, because privacy proxy was one of the items that was recommended in the review team. So the item number three in the GNSO list, I think, again, has to be done because it falls within the scope of the last review team's work. Susan, you have your hand up. Was that to answer the address the issues of the first two items?
Yes, Alan. It's Susan Calvucci.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't notice earlier.
No problem. So, especially bullet number two, how RDS current and future recommendations might be improved and better coordinated. There is a lot going on with WHOIS, and so Thick WHOIS is a prime example of, the PDP ended, 2013, I think? But we still don't have the implementation. So I think that right there is something that the review team could take a look at and provide recommendations to the community on how to speed things up, how to make sure, put in timelines, whatever we decide for things to happen, instead of, it just sort of slogging on for years upon years. Because at this point, it's still moving at a glacial pace. Bullet number two,
If I may, my summary, you're saying make sure that we cover any PDPs that have completed and comment on whether they seem to have met their target need and whether the implementation is proceeding reasonably.
Correct.
That sounds like, I think that is not unreasonable. That particular PDP didn't come out of the RDS, of the WHOIS review. It came out of one of the IDRP reviews. The UDRP reviews, if I remember, or not UDRP, the Inter-Register Transfer Review. But I think looking at closed PDPs that are partially implemented is not an unreasonable thing to do, and there's two of those. So I think that is,
right.
I think that's a reasonable one, yes.
So I don't view this review team as being limited to just issues coming out of a PDP. I mean, I can sort of see why you would define it that way, but any issue in the WHOIS, whether it was created through a contractual, means or through a PDP, it's early for me, so my brain's only thinking halfway here, but, and I'm not suggesting we look at the GDPR now, but GDPR is going to impact the WHOIS, and so therefore, some of that, just complying with GDPR in the future, will provide a review for the RDS3 review team, in my opinion. So I think, you know, that we could definitely look at PDPs that are closed and the implementation of them. Where are they going? And then we could recommend, you know, ways to move things forward faster. The other thing with the, you know, the EWG was not that well accepted with the community. And do we want to see that again? That was board initiated, and the RDS PDP was a board initiated PDP, which is rare. So, you know, do we want to comment on, you know, on the board taking action outside of the community? I think they did the right thing myself, but, you know, there's those points could be up for discussion. So almost everything on this list, I feel like we should touch. I do not think we should get into a long drawn out discussion on, you know, whether the current WHO protocol works and we need another one or not. That is what the RDS working group is doing.
Okay, thank you. Just to be clear, my original proposal was to limit the scope to just a postmortem. That's dead at this point because that was not accepted universally. So we're presenting that as history. I personally would still like to limit things as much as we can, but I'm not trying to sell that proposal at this point. So we don't have to rehash that. So you're saying, you know, we should not be trying to evaluate ongoing PDPs as how well they're doing, but we can look at issues that are past the PDP stage and do they meet the needs. And in fact, some of them, certainly the privacy proxy already falls within our domain because that was one of the results of the first WHOIS review team. Stephanie, go ahead, please. Hand is down.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I agree with much of what Susan said. I think that while we don't want to get bogged down here, the word assess can be construed in several ways. And I think the whole WHOIS history has suffered from a tendency to where there has been a giant disagreement and only certain items have succeeded in getting rough consensus. There's been a tendency to say, okay, right, we'll leave that other stuff behind and go ahead and do these studies, come up with these accuracy reports. And that, in turn, has increased the turmoil. So if this group doesn't actually assess, in air quotes, progress on certain things, or at least comment on why things aren't moving forward, because as Susan says, the SIC implementation is stalled, and it's partly because of the GDPR. To ignore that turns this whole review into a very shallow exercise. Now, let me go back to my agreement. We do not want to get bogged down, but a comment on why things aren't moving, I think, for those of us who actually want to get somewhere on these other processes we're mired in, would be, I think, irresponsible on our part. And that goes for the RDS struggle as well. We've got to say something about why it's not moving. Thanks.
All right. I see Chris's hand up, and I'll put my hand up. I would have liked to go through the list first, but we seem to have gotten heavy into the discussion. And Chris, go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. I think the challenge here is that this review reports to the board. And this review, one of the goals of this review is to make a series of recommendations to the board. Now, if you're going to start, you guys can do what you like, but if you're going to make, you know, comments made on stuff that's already happening, what would you expect the board to do with that? if you want to be if you want to have an effective review, merely making a series of comments is not going to be particularly, I would suggest, not going to be particularly helpful. The board has no way of interfering, as far as I can, as far as I'm aware. The board, and I'm going to use the word interfering, it's not meant to be pejorative in any way. The board has no way of interfering with a GNSO PDP. I take Susan's point about it being a board-initiated one, but there were good reasons for that, and it was done in consultation with the GNSO. But I'm a bit lost as to what benefit or what the review team thinks it can say in its final documentation to the board that makes recommendations that can deal with something that the board has no power to deal with at all. And as I said, I'm not against it. I just don't understand. Thanks.
All right. I have Susan in the queue, and I'm in the queue. That was one of the points I was going to make, that I really have a problem with us just putting things into a report, which will get filed on the shelf, and not looked at again. There's been plenty of those already. And I also have a really significant problem looking at an ongoing process and saying it's not working. The only reasonable answer is get involved in that process and make it work if you think you know better. And some of us are, of course, involved in that process already. In terms of the thick who is, last time I checked, and although I'm on the implementation team, I haven't attended any meetings recently. Last time I checked, it is not bogged down. They did choose to implement a timeline, which I didn't agree with, which took the three tasks of implementation and ordered them so the actual thick who is part was the last one. And they're now on to that task, but it was a long time coming, and I don't disagree with that analysis at all. I don't think it is bogged down because of the GDPR. It may be ill-advised today because of GDPR, but I do believe it is going ahead. So we should review that implementation. I don't think it's quite as bad as was presented, but I have a real concern that we will spend a lot of time analyzing ongoing things that we have no ability to affect, and that does concern me very significantly. Susan, go ahead.
So I agree somewhat that we don't want to analyze things that we can't provide effective recommendations. But until we at least do a cursory review of those issues, we won't know what if we have recommendations and actionable recommendations. So, and I do think we have quite a few members that, you know, this may be the who is topic may not be so well known. So I think we need to walk through the issues and make a decision as a team. And that's basically what we're doing somewhat. But I do think, I don't want to just make a bunch of comments. We want firm recommendations. But most of these issues that the GNSO provided the feedback on, and I did help draft parts of this. I definitely did not, all of these points were definitely not my points. I think we have a duty to at least take a look, spend a little bit of time, and then make a decision on whether we should be moving forward with an in-depth analysis.
Thank you, Susan. And I think that is what we're doing right now. And I'm certainly giving my opinion, and I think we need to assess not only on this call but over email over the next little while other people's opinions and then come to a conclusion. Eventually, we are going to have to put something in writing as to what our scope is. And I want that to be as clear as possible so not only we understand it, but the board, in looking at what we're presenting them, understands it. Can at least give us back some thoughts as to whether this, they believe, will meet the targets that they have imagined, as it were, when this group was chartered. So from my perspective, 1 and 2 on the GNSO list of assess current efforts is something which is, I won't say a fool's game, but is both going to be difficult and, since it's a moving target, and passing judgment over things that are not completed. I have no problem with looking at completed PDPs and saying, what did they assess it, and for that matter, is the implementation proceeding or is it completely on hold? Chris, go ahead.
Thanks. I find in these circumstances that often, you know, sort of following a specific example might be useful. So if you look at, say, the current, there are a couple of examples that I think either Stephanie or Susan mentioned that they refer to in terms of, you know, they are stalled, and I don't disagree with that. My question would be, we'll follow that logically through and say that this review team does an in-depth look at it and does come to the conclusion that it's stalled. My question would be, and then what? Because what can the board do if you make a recommendation, if you make a comment that says these things are stalled and we, you know, there's too many people involved, or it doesn't seem to be making significant progress, or it's going to be years before it's sorted out, and all of that stuff, that's fine. But what would you recommend the board actually does? The board can't prevent the GNSO from taking the steps that it takes and running the PDP that it runs, and neither can it change the PDP's process. We could make some comments, and in fact, the board may make some comments of its own bat about the fact that things seem to be taking a very long time. But I'm not clear as to what this review team could say that would be a benefit to anybody in respect to things that are currently underway. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, Chris. I'll give a quick answer to that. I believe that is correct for ongoing PDPs. There have been cases where a PDP was completed, approved by the board, and nothing was done on implementation by staff for a year and a half.
Sorry, to be
clear. I'm not saying it's an RDS issue, but there have been such cases. And there we could have very valid recommendations to the board.
Completely agree. Sorry, perhaps I wasn't clear. I was talking specifically about stuff that's ongoing. I have no issue whatsoever.
PDPs that are ongoing.
We're looking at
stuff. Yeah.
Well, okay, but you understand what I mean. The distinction I would make is that if you look at something that's already been settled and a series of recommendations have been made, and you want to comment about the slowness of those things being put into actually implemented, I'm fine with that. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'm talking more to do with the ongoing stuff. I'm not suggesting that this review should not look at the implementation of completed processes.
Okay, we are not disagreeing. Stephanie.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I am reminded of the time that the GAC asked ICANN staff, I guess, to explain to them what was going on with who is, because they had lost track. This is probably 2 years ago by now, maybe even GAS 3. And Margie Mellum at the next plenary meeting gave something like a 47-page PowerPoint on all things who is. It is still recommended reading, in my view. There's a lot going on with who is. We have choices here to either stick to reviewing what the last who is review did and only talking about that, or assessing at a much more high level, bird's eye view level, trends that are slowing things down, in my view. Because as someone who participates on a few of these, but certainly not all, I can see some trends that we are possibly not managing as I can the three-headed monster, the corporation, the staff, and the stakeholders, in a way that is leading us to a conclusion or solving a long-standing problem. And I think if we... That's what I'm looking for as some kind of meta-analysis. Whether that is a recommendation that the board could act on
I don't know. But in my view, the outcome of the EWG review could have been dealt with perhaps more positively with comments on the final report and more of a community discussion, because things kind of went quiet for about a year, and then there was the joint board GNSO group that struck the terms of reference for the new committee. And I thought those terms of reference were great, but we're still absent the community discussion that might help solve some of these range wars that are going on, and poor Chuck has been very good handling them, and Susan and McKaylee and David as well as co-chairs. But if you don't try to at least make clear the issues that weren't resolved, we're just going to keep getting deeper and deeper in the muck, in my view. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
Could we get a specific example at some point, Alan, about what Stephanie means? It would be help me enormously to understand if you could refer to something specific rather than just your generalities.
I'm going to have to leave that up to Stephanie. I can't. Please, Erica, go ahead.
I thought you wanted to give the back to Stephanie. Because I think
okay.
Go back.
Go ahead, Steph.
Let me give you a couple of the data commissioners came to the Copenhagen meeting. They had all of the questions that were fired to them. We have now fired off the same questions to independent counsel for their answers. We have not yet reviewed or discussed the answers from the data commissioners. I don't know what the plan is when we get outside counsel's answer to those questions, but the way that the board and the review teams and the groups have handled advice from the data commissioners in the past has not been one that has produced a fruitful discussion. Unfortunately, of course, most of my examples that I know the best are data protection issues. It is often stated, and it is stated in a summary that was recently published in all kinds of references to the EWG report, that we reported and reached agreement. There were many compromises made in that. Everybody made some. I certainly made some. But then my objections to the final report have been referred to as a blog or an appendix. The objections really strike at the very same objections now that I've had the opportunity to read the history while I do my dissertation. They're the same objections that have been raised on previous Who Is arguments. And they are the same objections that are going to be facing us all when the GDPR comes into effect in May of next year. And so I think that these fundamental problems, we have a tendency to declare victory where there's victory and move on and try and get something implemented so that we can provide to the board a sunny picture. And I'm not suggesting that we live in the entrails of the failures all our lives, but let's at least acknowledge that there might be a common element or two or three that are causing these disagreements and sketch out the frame of the disagreements. If you can't get agreement, then at least sketching out the long-running frame of the disagreement and saying, okay, next time we'll have to try and address this, strikes me as a positive way to handle a lack of consensus. I don't think I can actually handle the lack of consensus in a positive manner. I hope that explains an example or two. And I don't bring those examples out so that they can be shot down. I'm trying to contribute constructively to this conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. I put myself in the queue. Eric is next.
I think Stephanie and raised a valid point, and I give my confirm my support for what Susan said. issue we are having, because we are such a, we are operating in, to some degree, in such a novel environment in designing, developing quasi laws. I know that some people don't like to hear this, but that's what we do. I say quasi laws, I'm not saying laws. We tend to sometimes overlook and are not precise, sufficiently precise enough with non-consensus. Non-consensus opinions often indicate that something is wrong with a general perception in how certain development shall evolve. And this is not just true for ICANN, this is true in other environments as well. So I think she's right. We should be where we have this tendency and where we see these trends evolving. It would be good for this team to look back onto to the PDPs which are concluded, and even to some degree where we observe similar trends evolving right now. I think we have to be careful because we don't want to become, we are not in a kind of evaluation board evaluating policies, but I think we should mention this. So I give support to two with the being cautious that we have to define the methodology, how we do this, and quite clearly. Thank you so much, Ellen.
Thank you, and I put myself in the queue. The old hands are still up. If you want to raise them, please lower them and raise them again. Couple of things. First of all, on the EWG was not recommended by the last Who Is report, but was a creature of the board's imagination as a step in the process to addressing long-term Who Is, now renamed RDS, issues. And a major component of the RDS PDP is to assess the EWG report and incorporate aspects that they believe are reasonable into any future Who Is related recommendations. So us doing that in parallel, I believe, is completely wrongheaded, because the only way to assess what parts of the EWG are reasonable and should be incorporated is going to be within the RDS PDP. To do it in parallel with that, I just think is both duplicating effort and duplicating in such a way that we have no certainty it's going to be addressed. So as difficult as it is, and I agree with Stephanie on a lot of the aspects of it, and, you know, I did not support parts of it, but I think that has to be addressed within the PDP, not here. Regarding GDPR, I would love to think that we're going to be finished by May. At this point, we are not. Any quote solution to the GDPR issue is going to have to be fabricated well before May if it's to be implemented by registries and registrars. So that's an effort that's going on in parallel. It might be a fool's effort within ICANN. It might be successful. I'm not going to comment on it because I don't know the details of what's going on. But yes, can we comment on GDPR if it is relevant as we go forward? Certainly. I don't think it is our job to design the fix, but we can certainly comment on it if it is still applicable as we move forward. So I think we need to be really careful of what we're doing and our scope. Thank you. If I don't see any new hands, then we will proceed. I'll proceed with the looking at the other GNSO issues. Stephanie, is that an old hand, or were you meant to get in again? It was before my hand, so I'm assuming it's an old one. Thank you. Number three is ongoing work of this is back on the GNSO list. Number three is look at ongoing privacy and proxy work, and that is, in fact, one of the recommendations, and I completely agree that is within scope. I don't see any hands, so I'll keep on going. Progress on cross-validation implementation, recommendations 6 and 7, again, to the extent that we're talking about recommendations of the PDP, we are obliged, of the last review team, we are obliged to look at those. Review compliance efforts. To the extent, again, it's part of recommendations, there's no question we have to do that, so I think compliance is very much a relevant issue. Availability of transparent data, I'm not sure what that means. If either Stephanie or Erica, as part of the GNSO, can explain what number six means, available of transparent data concerning enforcement of contractual obligations of who is. I don't know what that means. Is there anyone who can explain what it means? Yes, go ahead, Erica.
I can't answer this fully because I wasn't then on the GNSO council, but Susan certainly can. But if you look other companies, I mean, if you look to other companies, you can get an example how data can be made transparent. Most internet companies publish, when it comes to enforcement data, they publish this once a year. You don't drill down to precise enforcement location data, but you have give a general overview how many requests you receive, for example. Something like this could be done, maybe a little bit harder at ICANN because many more players would be involved, but maybe this is what is meant. Otherwise, please ask. I think Susan, she will be listening. So she might reply to
Sorry, I should have mentioned Susan as well.
It's okay. She said she agrees with me. So there we are. And the same is true for compliance. You can publish compliance data. Again, you don't mention the players, but you publish once a year or how often you agree you publish these information.
Yeah, that's already, I believe, within the compliance recommendation. So I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that.
I think it is.
I mean, when the compliance recommendation said do this professionally, in my mind that includes making available data to demonstrate what you're doing. I don't have any disagreement with that.
No, not automatically, but.
Well, I believe it should.
Don't forget, not automatically. Okay, I go and mute, and then you.
Okay, thank you, Erica. So, okay, to the extent that's talking about availability of compliance data to demonstrate that they are, in fact, doing a reasonable job or that they're not, I have absolutely no problem with that. That's certainly part of the review of compliance. And the first review team made it very clear that having a good compliance operation was a critical part of who is. Seeing no hands, number seven, assess the value and timing of RDAP as a replacement protocol. That one I have a major problem with because you cannot assess it as a replacement protocol unless you know what it is going to be doing. And we don't have that at this point. So certainly when the whether selecting RDAP as the replacement protocol is part of the PDP or is part of the PDP implementation is not clear right now, at least not clear to me, but I don't believe we are in a position to assess its applicability not knowing exactly what it's going to be doing. If the results of the RDS PDP are that the only thing we publish about domain names in WHOIS is the domain name and the name servers, then RDAP is a completely suitable protocol, as is the current WHOIS protocol. But until we know what it is they're going to be doing and how it has to work, I don't think we're in a position to do that. So I would really like to understand what this means. And this sounds like, to me anyway, it sounds like something that is not only out of scope but impossible. Comments from any GNSO people? Go ahead, Stephanie.
I don't disagree that our job is not to redo what the IETF has done, you know. However, you are on the RDS and you're there all the time. You will know that parties on the RDS have actually come out and said they hate RDAP, it's no good, and we shouldn't use it. Those are parties that are not in favor of tiered access. A mere endorsement from this group that and this is a pretty good example, I think, of the kind of review we can do of questions like this. We can say it's premature to determine how RDAP might be implemented. We're waiting for the RDS to report, RDS group to report. However, it seems fit for purpose for tiered access, and we would encourage other groups to continue working along these lines. That would at least be helpful. The other example I gave, where I basically objected strenuously to the EWG report because of the concept of consent, we are fighting that battle on the RDS. And had there been some kind of recognition somewhere, either through the recognizing the comments of the data commissioners, acknowledging court cases, or acknowledging that that consent was a valid concern, we would not have to refight that on every front. Thanks.
Yeah, I still don't see how we can be commenting on something that is ongoing. To make an evaluation that the IETF did a yeoman's job and was very successful at coming up with a protocol which will meet certain needs, but we're not quite sure what the needs are. Sure, we've just done it. We can write it up and it's done. And if that's what you're talking about, I have no problem with that. But to do a detailed analysis of whether it is suitable to implement a protocol that we haven't, or to implement a set of specifications that we haven't designed yet, I find very problematic. So I'd like to see something more concrete than that. Again, the expert working group is evaluation of its report and its the merits of what it is suggesting is exactly what the RDS PDP is doing. So whether it was wrong-headed or right on spot, I don't think is something that we can look at and do in parallel. I'll take that position, and I don't think I'm going to switch now. What we end up doing, obviously, is not just my decision. But and the other part of number 7 is the timing of RDAP. Well, if RDAP is currently suitable, then it's done. We don't, other than implementation of the code within our contracted parties, it's a done deal. On the other hand, if the PDP ends up coming up with a requirement which is not currently satisfied by the PDP, by RDAP, then we have to go back to the IETF. ICANN doesn't write protocols, and that's not a timing that we can that we have the ability to assess either. So that's why I find number 7 rather problematic. Catherine?
Yes. Thank you, Alan. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. This is Catherine for the record. Just 2 quick points. One on this RDAP issue. I mean, I think in terms of what we're supposed to do, as I understand it, is we're supposed to assess the effectiveness of the current WHO as it stands now. And so I think we can say something about whether RDAP as a protocol would work well to implement the current WHO as it exists now, whether thick or thin. As you were mentioning before on email, IDN is one issue that might be better addressed with RDAP, so maybe we could say something about that. But I do agree that it's very difficult to make any speculation about what would come out as the new RDS policy and how RDAP would be fit for purpose for that new policy. So I do agree that that might not be a useful thing to do, but to assess whether or not it's useful for the current purposes of the WHOIS as it exists now, it probably won't take us very long and might be a useful statement. And then just in terms of the discussion that's going on, as a second point about how we might or might not influence what's going on with the next generation RDS PDP, I'm just wondering whether Stephanie's expectations that we might say something that actually influences the way the discussion is going now, whether that is something that we might reasonably expect to have any success with. Because I'm just wondering, in terms of the binding nature of our report, I mean, we would make recommendations that I understand have a certain binding nature upon the board, perhaps, but we can probably not decide contentious questions for the RDS PDP. I mean, we might provide another argument to one or the other side of an ongoing discussion there, but could somebody enlighten me as to whether if we make a given recommendation on one of the issues that is currently contentious in the RDS-PDP, whether that would actually have any sort of binding or authoritative nature in that PDP? I'd be really grateful, because I think that's an important consideration for our scope.
I think Chris has made that clear, but I'm sure he's willing to say it again. The board has no scope whatsoever to influence the direction of a PDP. It can tell the GNSO that it doesn't think things are going well. It can remand if a PDP comes out with recommendations the board doesn't like. The board can't change them. All it can do is remand it back to the PDP and say, have that discussion again. There is
but
no authority
to
directly influence it.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, if that's correct, I was a bit surprised at that, because somebody, and I don't remember who it would, of course, be helpful, was saying in Johannesburg, after Steve Crocker expressed some concerns about how the process was going, that they were expecting direction from the board to be given to the PDP. So that is, in fact, not something that's legally possible.
Chris, the answer. Sorry, Alan. When you're
ready. Go right ahead.
The answer is no. You can't do that. First of all, Steve is speaking for himself, not for the board. Secondly, there's very little the board can do. It can make comments, but it can't provide any sort of direction. And I just wanted to make one other comment, which in passing, in respect to this particular item number 7, it may just be me misreading the way that item number 7 is put, but I would ask the question, what qualifications do the members of this review panel, and in this I include myself, had to be able to make an assessment of whether RDAP is fit for purpose? I don't think any of us are technically competent enough to be able to do that. So I would, but I stress, I may have misread it and misunderstood what is meant by it. Captain, I'll happily answer any other questions that you have in respect to the board's view, but I hope I've covered that now.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. I think we are actually capable of assessing whether RDAP is fit for purpose for the current who is. And I think it's rather paternalistic for us to tell the IETF they did a good job in meeting the minimum requirements, never mind the maximum requirements, but we can certainly do that. But it's I'm not sure what it says to the IETF watching us if we feel necessary to say that to them. But
this is a review team, and it's a review. Sorry, it's Chris again. I apologise. This is a review team. It's a team that is making a series of recommendations to the board. If the review team wants to include as its scope an assessment of RDAP that then says to the board, we the review team have assessed this and we think it should be used, or we the review team have assessed this and we think it should be used, well then, fine, so be it. But I go back to what you said, which is, Alan, on what basis? And if we all know that the scope is in some senses likely to change, what is the benefit of saying, assessing it in respect to the current, when I say scope, I mean the scope of who is, or the way that who is going to change? Then what's the benefit of assessing it in the current environment?
Yeah, I mean, if the current environment is suitable, then who is suitable? Why change? Any case. Stephanie, is that a new hand or an old one? I've lost track.
That's a new hand, Alan. Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I think that assessing our scope narrowly in terms of making recommendations on which the can take a precise action, judging from the review that I have done of the previous WHOIS reviews, is a very narrow scope indeed, because almost everything that we come up with is within the scope of the GNSO and its PDPs, and if you're going to say that, well, the board can't do anything about the backlog, the slowdown, the impasse that the RDS is having, if the board can't do anything about the implementation of the IETF protocols, then we'll soon be washing our hands and going home. However, if we construe our role as making broader recommendations that, for instance, somebody, let's say the FSAC, take a look at the RDAP in the current complex environment of what needs to be done with who is, and see whether it's how they see it could help us move forward. I don't see why we couldn't make that kind of a recommendation. There are people who are technical here. Dimitri, for instance, but he's not on the call today. So I think that we each bring particular expertise to this group. Thanks.
Again, I'll ask, are we assessing it for an unknown use in the future, or are we assessing it for the current who is? Stephanie?
You can assess it as to whether, I don't know how you assess it, but the current who is, because it hasn't been implemented, right?
No, the current who is implemented.
You can assess it. Sure, but the RDAP isn't, right?
No, there's all sorts of implementations of RDAP. It's being used for who is for a number of CCTLDs, for instance.
Yeah, but, you could do that then if you feel that that is the limitation of your scope. But I really do think, I would hate for us to just get into a very nasty dialogue about arguing about the scope here. Between the chair and those of us who want the scope to be slightly broader. And I feel some sort of responsibility to endorse some of the recommendations of the GNSO recommendations, being a member of the council. Why don't we leave this? Because we're not drafting our scope at this moment. I have duly noted that the chair does not agree with me, and I'll come back with better ammunition for some of these arguments.
Yeah, just to be clear, it's not a matter of the chair. We will have to come to closure, and we will do that through a more consensus-based room than me having one-on-ones with people. But what I'm trying to do is understand what the words mean, and I still don't quite know what it means. Catherine, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Alan. This is Catherine. I just have one more general point as we're coming apparently to a close on this. It's what I raised before, that the GAC feedback is not related to the proposed limited scope, but rather to the GNSO proposal for the scope that we should adopt. So in the document, it should be moved logically below the GNSO feedback, because that was what the GAC was referring to in its reaction to the limited scope proposal. So they're actually not as much in favor of the limited scope proposal, but rather of the GNSO feedback. And then they added this point that there were a few issues that we probably couldn't exclude from the outset that may also be touched upon by the RDS-PDP.
Thank you, Catherine. That was understood. That's despite the order in the document, that's why we're talking about the GNSO first before the other comments. That was understood.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. The next item is to the extent. Now this I find rather intriguing. To the extent time and bandwidth permit, evaluate recommendations 3 through 11 of the PDP. In my mind, we don't have any choice. Time and bandwidth will have to permit us to evaluate the recommendations of the PDP. So I don't see a choice on that. And then the last one is ensure no duplication of work. And that's the one that I supported, but the GAC said, no, we should not do that. There may be places that we want to overlap. I'm not quoting the GAC verbatim, but they disagreed with item number 9, and maybe Catherine could step in and give us a little bit more insight as to that.
Right, this is Catherine. Glad to. So the thinking of the GAC was, and it goes along some of the comments that Susan and Stephanie and Eric have already made previously, is that there are issues that we may want to comment on as the review team, and in some cases even possibly provide recommendations that would hopefully be helpful to the work of the RDS-PDP on certain issues that would be difficult to ignore in terms of assessing, you know, having any sort of meaningful assessment of the effectiveness of the WHIS. I mean, one prominent example, and Stephanie's already mentioned it, is the data protection issue, because it's already having an effect on the effectiveness of the WHIS, as, you know, for example, .Amsterdam has now stopped providing WHIS services, to my understanding. So there is an immediate impact on some present functioning of the WHIS, of certain issues that are also of concern to the RDS-PDP. And for those issues, the GAC was of the opinion that we as the review team should not exclude them outright from the scope, but rather look at to what extent it would be sensible for us to take a look at them and provide targeted recommendations, possibly to the RDS-PDP, I mean, via the board, you know, knowing that this report will probably also be looked at by other members of the community, including those participating in the RDS-PDP, and therefore did not just want to leave those aside.
Okay.
Does that help clarify? I'm happy to answer any questions.
Let me ask you a follow-on, and then we'll go to anyone else in the queue.
If you could put me in the queue, please, Alan, when you're finished.
I will do that. I guess I would like to understand, are you thinking of something of the scope of us making a statement saying data protection and GDPR must be addressed by ICANN, and that's an implementation issue, in a timely manner, number one, and number two, the RDS-PDP must factor in privacy issues that are applicable. If we're talking about some statement like that, as opposed to spending 4 months deliberating on it, then I have no problem. If we're talking about something in a lot more depth, then we're doing the either policy design or the implementation for the current WHIS that has to be addressed by May, and that I see as an effort that is not our job. So sort of towards which side are you aiming? Is this the short saying we can't be silent on it, or we should be doing in-depth work on it?
Right. I mean, I cannot speak for the GAC as a whole, but to my understanding, it was more the former. It will depend a bit also on the work that we do here. I mean, depending on where we still see issues with the effectiveness of the current WHIS to meet the purposes that it was designed for or that it's being used for, then we will possibly have recommendations that grow out of that for the RDS-PDP that we cannot anticipate at this point in time. I think that there are a few very obvious ones, and then there are some that might, you know, come to us as we do this review, and that where it actually might help, that we are taking a fresher look as a smaller group and are taking a bit more of a bird's eye view. So to my understanding, the view of the GAC was to do more the former, to look at the principles, but to also leave room for, you know, where we saw a need for more detailed recommendations that might grow out of our work. I mean, I agree that there's a couple of very blatantly obvious issues, such as the GDPR, where it probably wouldn't be good to just rehash everything.
Thank you. We are now over time on the hour and a half and have not made a lot of progress. Stephanie, is this a brief comment you want to make right now before we look for a way going forward and wrap up?
I apologize once again for my extremely slow line speed. That's making any kind of typing very clumsy. I think Chris was ahead of me. He was in the queue, Alan. So
I'm sorry. You're right. Chris did ask.
Compliance with GDPR is square in our mandate under compliance with law, and it's not an implementation issue. Unfortunately, it's a policy issue that pervades everything, and that's why it's so difficult. Thank you. Bye.
Chris, last word.
Really? Okay. All I
on this call.
Was, All I wanted to say was that I think it's important for this review team to continually keep in mind the basis of its recommendations. To be effective, those recommendations need to be able to be acted upon. And it's not going to be effective to make a recommendation out of this review team that simply doesn't go anywhere. It's just an awful lot of effort for no good reason. So I think it's making statements at the high level about it would be really good if this happened or really good if that happened. If that's what this review team wants to do, then that's fine. But understand that recommendations that go to policy will not be effective in this review team because this review team can't make policy. Well, the individuals on this review team can take part in a policy development process and they can influence it in that way. But this review team cannot make policy and cannot make recommendations in respect to policy. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. I will ask of the people on this call and anyone listening to the call in the next week, so we have some input for our next meeting in 2 weeks, can you put together a short paragraph that you believe should be in the scope covering the issues that you think need to be covered over and above the mandatory review all aspects of the last review team's recommendations and their implementation. So let's move forward and try to put real words to something so that we can have some substance to debate in this group and can make a decision. So I ask that as an action item from all members. And I'll call this meeting to an end slightly late. I'm sorry we didn't make the target of either the hour or the hour and a half. We'll try. I'll certainly try better next time. Thank you all.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks all.